Welcome back in a Friday edition of the Todd Bromelkamp Show, along with, well, Alex is on vacation at least for another day. He'll be back with me on Monday. Football season right around the corner. You can catch all the action with the Iowa State Cyclones on 1600 AM this season. Also simulcast on 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM here in Cedar Rapids. Hour number two right around the corner. Jack Dom will be with us at 5:30, his weekly segment Touching All the Bases. Plus, we've still got that $30 gift card to hand out for Mulligan's Pub. We'll be back there next Thursday for the next KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. You're in college football mode. I'm in college football mode. The season cannot get here soon enough. We are inside 2 weeks away from the first college football season. What better time to touch base with the man, the myth, the legend, the author of the single greatest preseason college football magazine out there. It is the Bible of college football. Mr. Phil Steele with us here on KGYM. And Phil, you probably got the itch. I bet you could tell me right now the first game of the year is when.
That would be Saturday, August the 25th. You got Wyoming and New Mexico State, Hawaii and Colorado State. So looking forward to both of those games. A couple of small ones as well. Duquesne is starting off the season, taking on one of the FBS teams. So it should be a pretty interesting schedule.
Let's go ahead and dive in with the Big Ten. Unfortunately, a lot of off-field headlines right now at Maryland and Ohio State are dominating the headlines. But can Ohio State kind of compartmentalize everything that's going on off the field and live up to expectations in the Big Ten this year, in your opinion?
You know, I think Ohio State can. The way the situation's playing out right now, it appears that Urban Meyer is going to be back. And if he is back, I think that the couple weeks that he was not there, they've got enough previous head coaches on the staff to overcome it. When you look at the talent Ohio State has, they're strong at the line of scrimmage. They have one of the top offensive lines in the country, and then led by Nick Bosa, the number two defensive line in the country. I think Dwayne Haskins gives them a downfield passing threat that they were lacking a little bit with JT Barrett. Maybe not as dynamic of a runner, but when you got J.K. Dobbins and Mike Weber to hand off to, you're in pretty good shape in the backfield. And then watch for a guy like Paris Campbell to really emerge this year. You know, I think with more downfield passing, you'll see him become a big-time threat. And overall, it's a team that's solid on special teams. They do have three tough road tests this year. They got to play TCU in Arlington, Penn State in Happy Valley, and Michigan State in East Lansing. But last year against Penn State and Michigan State, they had over 1,000 yards offense and allowed less than 500. So I think they're capable of handling all three of those road tests.
Now, I think most people would agree that the East is the much tougher division in the Big Ten, although here on the western side of things, we'll stick up for Wisconsin and Iowa and Nebraska and the like, but you're expecting a real slobber knocker over there in the East this year because you've got Michigan State and Michigan on your top list of teams that could surprise this fall.
Yeah, and don't forget about Penn State either. The reason Penn State's not on my surprise team list is they're going to be in the top 10 in the preseason. And, you know, we just talked about Ohio State. When you go to Michigan, they're one of the least experienced teams in the country last year, just 5 returning starters. This year they have 17 returning starters back, 8 on offense, 9 on defense. And they add in the Shea Patterson, the quarterback from Ole Miss, who had 10 starts there. This is a dynamic Michigan team, one that I rate actually rates 6th toughest in the country, but I only have them rated number 11 because they do have a tough schedule. You look at their road games, they're playing Notre Dame, Northwestern, Michigan State, and Ohio State all on the road this year. Penn State does lose Saquon Barkley, but had a couple of capable, very capable running back candidates to step in, and Miles Sanders and Ricky Slade. Trace McSorley is a Heisman contender at the QB spot. The offensive line figures to be a strength for the first time since James Franklin's been there. And defensively, they do have 4 starters back. I think they'll be solid. They only play one team on the road that had a winning record last year, and that's Michigan. And then Michigan State, much like Michigan, one of the least experienced teams in the country last year. In fact, they were the least experienced team, number 129. This year they come in number 13 on my experience chart. Brian Lewerke at QB. Look for a 1,000-yard season out of L.J. Scott. The offensive line solid. Defensively, almost everybody back. In fact, 41 of the top 44 players last year are back. And they only faced one team on the road that had a winning record last year, and that is Penn State. So all 4 of those teams are capable challengers to the Big Ten crown.
Phil Steele talking college football with us here on a Friday on KGYM. Let's cut to the brass tacks. Your thoughts on the Hawkeyes this year. How far can Nathan Stanley take this team?
you know, I think Iowa is a contender in the West. And to me, the season, if you're an Iowa fan, probably boils down to September 22nd. If you have hopes to win the Big Ten West, they're going to have to knock off Wisconsin. And I believe that game could very well be at home at night. And we know Kinnick Stadium has been a house of horrors for highly ranked teams. Wisconsin, I feel, is the best team in the Big Ten West. They've got the best offensive line in the country. They've got Jonathan Taylor at running back, Alex Hornibrook at QB. And defensively, despite having just four starters back, they will remain one of the top defenses. But 2 years ago, Iowa knocked off a Michigan team that came in number two in the country in Kinnick Stadium. Last year, Penn State, number four in the country, needed a touchdown pass on fourth down with no time left on the clock to pull out the win. And then the Ohio State game. No doubting Ohio State had more overall talent, but 55-24, Iowa plastered them at home in Kinnick. So I give them a shot at winning that game in Wisconsin, or home against Wisconsin. If they do, you look at the rest of their schedule. The road games for Iowa are at Minnesota, at Indiana, at Purdue, at Illinois, all those winnable. The Penn State game, probably the toughest one, but with the win over Wisconsin under their belt, they can afford to slip up somewhere. So this is a good team. Nathan Stanley at QB. I like the defense, naturally. I got my number 20 rated defensive line in the country. Special team solid as always. And really the key to winning the West this year is going to be September 22nd.
Are you buying Scott Frost coming into Lincoln and leading an immediate turnaround for the Huskers?
Well, it all depends what your term is for in turnaround, because I think they will make a bowl game this year, and coming off a 4-8 season, that's good. Contend for the West title, I think that might be a little bit of a stretch. When I look at Nebraska this year, I do see a vastly improved defense. Last year they struggled under Diaco's schemes. This year they've got a new defensive coordinator, a simplified defense, eight starters back. They will be tougher. But remember last year, they gave up 5.6 yards per carry on the ground and 65% completions. So there is a lot of room that they had to improve. Offensively, it would be nice to see the option coming back a little bit with Adrian Martinez, the true freshman at QB. They're still going to throw the ball. They've got Spielman and Morgan, one of the better receiving combos out there. But when you look at Nebraska's schedule this year, they have to face Michigan, Wisconsin, Northwestern, Ohio State, and Iowa all on the road, as well as host Michigan State. I think they could very well be an underdog in as many as six games this year, but I still think Nebraska gets back to a bowl game and starts turning the ship around.
Give me another team to keep an eye on in the Big Ten West. Purdue and Northwestern both look like they could be really good this year.
Yeah, Northwestern's one I would hang my hat on for the to be as a dark horse contender there, and they're strong at the line of scrimmage. I got my number 30 rated offensive line, number 13 rated defensive line, the linebacking core, one of the best in the country at number 18. If Clayton Thorson's back and healthy, they've got a quarterback that NFL scouts are looking at, and they're number 25 on my experience chart overall. So this is a Northwestern team that I think could throw its hat in the mix there.
What about Purdue? They dodged a bullet last year. Jeff Brohm did not leave after year one. He led an immediate turnaround in West Lafayette. For the first time in a really long time, since Joe Tiller was there, people are excited about football in West Lafayette.
Yeah, and Jeff Brohm's a guy who, you know, talking to him at Western Kentucky each year, always exceeded my expectations. Last year at getting Purdue, the big thing was he had eight starters back on defense and was really happy with the talent he had inherited on the defensive side of the ball. And last year, Purdue won quite a few games with that defense. They allowed just 20.5 points per game. Meanwhile, the offense generating just 25 points per game. Well, this year the defense loses a lot of players. They only have four starters back. They lose 12 lettermen off the defensive side of the ball and a good portion of their top tacklers. That's my biggest question mark on this year's team. I think the offense will be improved. Sindelar and Blau are battling it out at the quarterback position. They've got Fuller, Jones, and Knox at running back. The offensive line should be decent this year as well. So an improved offense for Purdue, but a weaker defense and a pretty tough schedule in Big Ten play. They draw Ohio State, Michigan State, both out of the East. They also have to play Wisconsin and Ohio State at home, two games I expect them to lose, which means some of the winnable games are on the road. So I actually have them dropping a little bit back in the Big Ten West standings. But I agree with you, Jeff Brohm, one of the hot commodities in the country.
Over in the Big 12, Iowa State fans were not too happy to see the Cyclones picked to finish seventh during the preseason poll that was released at Big 12 Media Days. Matt Campbell's got that program trending upwards. How do you see Iowa State fitting into the Big 12 picture?
Well, I think much like Penn State, Iowa State, for the first time since Matt Campbell's been there, has an offensive line. I mean, you look at the first year, it was a cobbled-together group with little experience. Same thing last year. This year, they're going to actually look like an offensive line heading into the season. And Matt Campbell's a guy, just one of those up-and-coming head coaches where no way did I project Iowa State to get 8 wins last year, and yet they did get 8 wins. The big one was beating Oklahoma. When I talked to Coach Campbell this spring, he said the key to the turnaround was actually the Texas game. After playing Texas eye-to-eye, they felt they could play with anybody, and then with a backup quarterback, knock off Oklahoma on the road as a 31-point dog, and really the season started turning around. The areas of strength this year, quarterback, Kyle Kemp is back. You know, they were expecting him to be lost, but he's now back, got the extra year granted. David Montgomery, one of the more dynamic running backs in the country, and now he's got an offensive line to run behind. Deshante Jones, Hakeem Butler are dynamic receivers. And up front, the defensive line looks pretty solid. In fact, the whole defensive front seven and secondary is going to be solid this year. So this is going to be a dangerous Iowa State team. Now, the reason they were picked seventh is they'll be an underdog against Oklahoma at home. The West Virginia game rated as a toss-up. They have to play at Texas, at Oklahoma State, at TCU. But, you know, like I said, last year I would not have projected 8 wins for Iowa State, and Matt Campbell's always going to get you more wins than you expect. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if they had themselves another outstanding year.
If you and I are still doing this 15, 20 years from now, are we still talking about Bill Snyder getting Kansas State ready for another football season? This guy just won't quit.
It wouldn't surprise me at all. I get to talk to Coach Snyder each and every spring, and this guy's as sharp as a tack, knows every player on the team inside and out. And I tell you what, it's just amazing. And he got the nice contract extension. Now, 15 years from now, let's see, he'll be about 98. That might be pushing it. He might be ready for retirement about that.
Phil, is there a dark horse you like in the Big 12 to keep an eye on this year?
Yeah, I think everybody's talking about Oklahoma and West Virginia, perhaps TCU. I'm going to say Texas. And Texas is a team coming off a 7-6 season last year that had the second-best defense in the Big 12 last season, and they're going to be loaded on defense again this year. While they gave up 386 yards per game last year, they held their opponents to 72 yards below their season average, which was 20th best in the country. And when I talked to Coach Herman this spring going over the team, he was very displeased with both the running back core and the offensive line from last year. I think he gets that corrected this year. He brings in Herb Hand as the offensive line coach. And with an improved run game, look for better production out of the quarterbacks, Ellinger and Bouchel. They still have one of the Big 12's best defenses, if not the best defense. And the schedule sets up pretty well. So I think Texas could be that dark horse contender. And I actually have them projected to make the Big 12 title game this year.
Before we part ways for another college football season, Phil Steele joining us for another couple seconds here on KGYM. Is there a Central Florida this year? Who's that non-Power 5 team to watch out for?
I'm going to go with Boise State. 10 starters back on defense. Rippon is back at QB. They've got a 1,000-yard rusher back. And they do play a major team on the road early in the season in Oklahoma State. And Oklahoma State's the least experienced team in the Big 12 this year, and they get them the third game of the season. That's when you want to go play in Oklahoma State. So if they can knock them off early, you'll see Oklahoma State really improve as the season goes on. That win will look better and better. And when you look at the schedule for Boise, I can see them running the table this year. So watch the Boise State Broncos.
Phil Steele, author of one of the best college preview magazines out there. You probably can't even find it anymore. They usually get snapped up in this area pretty quick when they hit newsstands. We always appreciate you taking the time to join us here on KGYM, Phil. Thanks.
Hey, Todd, a lot of fun talking football with you, as always, my friend.
There you go, August 25th. He had the date, and he had the teams for those first college football seasons. Big Ten fans, we got to wait a little bit longer. I think Thursday, August 30th, is the kickoff for Big Ten football, Iowa and Iowa State, September 1st. You and I thrown into the mix there as well. And I think Phil does an FCS-level magazine as well, at least some sort of publication. I know he's talked about working on it in the past. Didn't get a chance to ask him his thoughts on you and I. Last year we did that, and he was still working on the preview, so didn't want to ruffle any feathers there. That is a guy who just rolls out of bed in the morning and can talk college football. Knew Alex's brother a couple years ago when Alex was the producer here, and Phil was talking Memphis football with him off the top of his head, unprepared, for about 60 seconds before he patched him through to Tyler and me here in the KGYM studios. I can't imagine having that much knowledge about anything. I mean, you guys listen to this program on a daily basis. You know I'm an idiot. Yesterday, I couldn't keep Eric Berry and Eric Reed straight, and people did not let me hear the end of it on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. You are dealing with a certified moron here doing the show. Phil Steele, on the other hand, his depth of knowledge of college football unrivaled anywhere. Happy to have him, as always, on KGYM. We're going to step aside and take a quick break. When we come back, Kyle's going to keep you up to date in what's going on in the sports world. Hour number one coming to a close here. Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire, and Linder Tire is right around the corner. The 5 o'clock hour is next. Don't go anywhere. Back after this.